Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another fresh, hot-off-the-grill episode of Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
You know, Superman shouldn't be called Superman. He should be called Normal Alien. Welcome to comics.
You're right.
Speaking of things,
or should he? I mean, there's a lot of aliens as we've established in DC.
Yeah, and what defines normal?
Yeah, normal Kryptonian.
That's
Kryptonian dude.
Kryptonian dude. Yeah. Speaking of things that are right, I want to talk to you about our sponsors.
Nice.
Starting with Shirtosaurus. Digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games, with membership options for every budget. Plus, their store now carries Legos and products from the most popular arcade 1-Up cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles, and you can keep as long as you want. And when you're done, just send it back in the postage-paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now at the link at geekcavepodcast.com. All right. So, how we doing?
I am fit as a fiddle and ready for love.
Darren,
I am doing as good as a guitar and ready for strumming.
Okay.
I can't really match the metaphor that Chad just used.
Speaking of guitars, go check out the latest Week 3 podcast.
Yeah. Guitar pedals.
We'll circle back around to mentioning our other shows at the end of the episode.
It's a fuzzy good time.
All right. Darren, you got anything for us?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on a second. I got to break this 20.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Gentlemen.
You're too kind.
First of all, to any children that are listening, we know that a lot of our listeners have their kids listen to, and I'm just going to advise you to maybe skip ahead about 8 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Okay. You know, 8 might have been a bit too liberal, but I just wanted to be sure, because the comic we're talking about is Zombie Tramp. So...
Is this a Disney riff?
No, I wish.
Okay. Is this a Supertramp cover band?
No, I also wish. Okay, so...
A Charlie Chaplin thing?
Not even. Although, the comic is primarily in black and white.
All right.
So, a little bit of inside baseball. I left radio a while back, and I am working in a comic book warehouse that will currently be anonymous because I don't know how they feel about the podcast yet, and I'm feeling it out. But through my duties, I have discovered there are so many wondrous titles that I have never heard of. In fact, I will text you gentlemen a photo of one of the titles that I discovered today. I will text it to you after this segment is over because I don't want to basically derail it. But all I'll say to our Discord users is you'll have seen the photo by now.
Oh, boy.
That being said, one of the books I came across is Zombie Tramp. Zombie Tramp was created in 2009 by Dan Mendoza and follows Janie Bell, a high-priced Hollywood call girl who works for a transvestite madam named George. Oh. Madam George arranges for Janie to spend the night with the town sheriff in exchange for being released. And, because Madam George ran afoul of the law, being, well, a pimp, more or less. And Janie accepts because George took her from being an ordinary streetwalker to a really glamorous, well-paid, by appointment only kind of working girl. It's
the best kind of gig.
It's the best kind of gig, really. Turns out the sheriff has a dark secret. Yeah, his son is a zombie. And he keeps his son chained up in his basement and has been feeding his son prostitutes. You know, that's wonderful. But he decided to enjoy Janie's services before turning her over to his son. The zombie broke loose before anything could happen, bit Janie. She took off and eventually passed out while she was trying to get away.
If he enjoyed her services and then was going to feed her to the zombie son, would that make her leftovers?
Well, I'll just give you verbatim the line that was used in the book, which is, I'm about to have the hottest screw of my life, and then my son is going to eat the hottest screw of my life.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, see, there's two storylines running in this book. And we're still in the first issue.
Man, you really did well here.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
more bang for your buck.
Hey,
Darren spit roast in the comments.
All right. Meanwhile, a convict is being transported by prison bus when she notices the driver is staring at her. Large tracts of land. By seemingly sheer force of will, she causes the buttons on her jumpsuit to just pop off, distracting the driver and causing him to get into a crash. She escapes, but not before killing the driver and another guard, then proceeds to recruit her own zombie army at the nearby morgue. Apparently, she is immune to their bites and can boss them around. Who is she? I don't know. I only read the first issue. She comes across Janie, who is now undead, and proceeds to read her mind because that is something that she can do, I guess. And they team up to make sure that George and the sheriff are going to get what's coming to them. Y'all, I had the weirdest boner reading this.
Chad is now hiding in his hoodie. I think it's the shame hoodie.
I feel so dirty just having heard it.
Well, yeah, because the art, it's kind of cartoonish, you know, oversized eyes, very stylized. It's not quite manga. It's kind of really hard to just picture a webcomic from 2005-ish.
Okay.
Ooh, right. Okay. Yeah. Now picture that, but with nudity and blood, and there are four colors that are used primarily in this comic: white, black, red, and the occasional blue. You know, on the surface, it's a pretty shallow kind of read because it's pretty obvious what's drawing the audience in.
Zombies. Title.
Yeah. Well. All I'll say is it worked for me. Got me to read it. And, you know, I was interested to see where the story was going to go. So I don't know if I'll pick up any more of it, but it did get me to read it out of a curiosity. So if you're looking for some strange for your comic shelf, then, maybe try out Zombie Tramp. Just use protection, including a helmet.
All right.
Huh.
Yeah, it was weird.
Well, thank you for that titillating review.
Yeah, believe me, they use that term and a lot of others. They know what they're doing. I will say my favorite joke is a couple of cops try to stop I'm going to call her the zombie queen, from taking over the morgue. And one of the cops is this you know, 3 days away from retirement kind of guy. He's crotchety. And the other one is a young guy who won't stop texting. He just always has the phone in his hand. Even when he's got a gun trained on her, he's still just texting. And so she unleashes these zombies and they're eating the cops. And the young one is still texting while he's streaming. We don't get to see the screen of the phone, but I'm hoping it's just,
Lovely social commentary right there.
Yeah, it really was. Anyway, yeah.
Well, speaking of monsters and comics, I read something recently.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I read. It's weird. So I was flipping through Comixology Unlimited, and I came across a vampire comic, Dracula, The Company of Monsters. I'm like, okay, interesting. Dracula gets resurrected in the new world by a business that's about to go under. And what their plan is to resurrect Dracula and use him to convince other companies to sell to them so that they can get bigger and thrive and survive. Well, what happens ultimately is that Dracula breaks free, starts his own company, and tries to make a hostile takeover of the first company. Yes, there are vampires everywhere, but there's also vampires in a boardroom.
Of course.
That being said, it's a good book. I enjoyed all three volumes that are on Comixology. It tells a complete story. I don't know if they're going to continue it or not. But Dracula, The Company of Monsters, is a fun read. it satisfies two of my primal urges, vampires and business.
I do have like a serious review, but I also wanted to add that apparently there's a book published by Image called, and I'm directly quoting the title, Dracula, Motherfucker.
I've read that one.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't finish it. I wasn't too impressed.
Oh, dang. Because the cover looked great.
Yeah, the cover looked great. And then I just kind of lost interest. That's why I didn't give it a review. Okay, I got the picture you sent. Thank you, Darren.
while they're reviewing...
My interest is now peaked. Yes. I can't wait for next month's first time.
I mean, that's not going to be it because that was sealed.
Aww.
That was sealed. And I'll try to track it down because, by God, I've got to read that book somehow. Employees aren't allowed to just read them.
I probably got it, but my phone's in my pants and my pants are not here.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair.
So...
See, this is normal for Chad. That's why we're not surprised by that statement.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had agreed, you know, that this was an informal podcast when we got together.
It is.
If we record live, then I wear pants, or we have to have table skirting.
That's fair.
That is, yeah, that's in his contract. So, I mean, that's all the reviews I have. Chad, do you have anything?
Well, I just finished reading volume two of Miller's American Jesus, but that came out like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Reading some of the other stuff, and I guess I have kind of maybe it's a stupid question.
Oh, Chad, there are no stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So, I'll just go ahead and ask it. How much man would a man bat bat if a man bat could Batman?
Go on, Justin. You're the Batman expert.
You see, Batman prepares for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And... this seems like a black label kind of comic book right there. I mean, with the wingspan and Batman's average weight is, you know, I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Well, I also had a review.
Oh, Oh, okay.
Just recently out in trade is Green Lantern Far Sector. If you're not familiar, this story follows Joe Mullane. Sojourner Mullane. She's the newest Green Lantern. She is from Earth because, of course, she's from Earth. But
aren't they all?
But she's got kind of an interesting little story. It's self-contained. It's a DC Black Label. That's what reminded me, your reference to it there. She has... All right. She's an African-American woman who got fired from her police job for trying to do the right thing by stopping or attempting to stop her partner from beating an unarmed man. You know, one of those things. And... You know, she's approached by a guardian of the universe from Oa at a nightclub while she's trying to drink her sorrows away. And the guardian basically gives her a challenge. You have 1 year to make a difference. And hands her this new experimental ring that does not need a battery. What it does need is time, as in, like, once it runs out, you've got to take about 5 days to recharge this sucker. It just recharges on its own. It's not as powerful as other Green Lantern rings because of that limitation, but if it's in the right person's hands, or on the right person's hands, it can be extremely effective in short doses. So, she ends up being assigned to a place that's so far out that it doesn't have a sector designation. This is a planet that is essentially a city of 10 billion people, three different races, and all have gotten rid of all of their strife by getting rid of the emotions. Just completely.
We've seen that in sci-fi a couple of times.
Yeah, they've got something called the emotion exploit, where when you're born, it is performed on you, and only through the use of illegal drugs can you feel emotions. So, yeah, kind of a weird place for someone whose power is entirely based on emotions to be assigned. But here we are. She ends up having to investigate the first murder in 5 centuries there. It was a murder in which someone was partially eaten. So that's, you know, fun.
Yikes.
And
if hungry's not an emotion, I got more work to do then.
Well, and see, that's the thing, because over the course, this is a 12-issue miniseries. I read the whole thing through Comixology. I'm going to get the physical version as well because I really liked it and I really enjoy what they did with the character. I wasn't a big fan of her design at first, but I came around to it. And they kind of play into whole, not only is she a Green Lantern, she's a detective, and this is a murder mystery that she has to solve. And you've got her dealing with different weird races, and she's a giant nerd complete with a Sailor Moon and Green Lantern John Stewart bobblehead on her desk. At one point, she literally makes a Gundam to fight a bunch of androids, because why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a synthetic race called the AT-ATs, and by that I mean all of their names are basically Twitter handles. Their currency is memes from Earth.
Nice.
Specifically those sweet, sweet cat memes. Direct quote.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason being is that because there is no emotion, there's no creativity. So memes are like fucking gold on this planet. Long story made slightly shorter. I don't want to spoil anything because I really think both of you should read it, and I think our audience should as well. The conspiracy goes much, much deeper. She's able to prevent essentially a genocide and is able to get some lasting change in the form of a referendum voted on by the people that will reinstate emotions on this planet. So at the end of the day, one person made a hell of a difference, and I highly recommend that you pick up Far Sector. It is It's a Black Label book, which means there's some swearing, there's some sex, there's no direct nudity, but it's everything but. But it's still a very good book.
Sweet. Well, I think it's time to play everybody's favorite game and say it with me now.
What the duck? Yeah!
There is no way that that all synced together.
Oh, it will when I'm done with it.
We don't edit much, but Darren will make sure this is good.
Darren's a perfectionist when he cares.
You can tell how much he gave a shit when he picked who he was going to host this with. Yeah, these guys are fine. They work cheap. All I have to do is pretend to be their friend.
I pay him in those owl memes.
They are superb.
Yes. So anyway, for those of you who don't know, What the Duck is a fun game I came up with when I was bored. Basically, I take a comic book character's name and autocorrect it to something new. Then I write a description on this of this new character's name, and the boys have to figure out what it is. So, let's get going, shall we? In 1942, Steve Rogers takes an experimental serum that gives him the power to add, quote, American text to any picture. For example, a picture of Hitler's dead body would say at the bottom, "Idiot with a stupid mustache finds out what happens when he buys a ticket to the gun show. Flex!" In later years, he was able to do this to movies. So in Romeo and Juliet, when they say the line, "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?" the text at the bottom reads, "Get your ass down here, Romeo. The Uber's waiting."
Caption America.
Caption America.
That's stupendous.
All right, next one. Kitty, a mutant, has the ability to phase through walls and floors to get away from anything sexual or any form of nudity. Her extreme embarrassment and shock of such things triggers her powers.
Read that again.
Okay. Kitty, a mutant, has the ability to phase through walls and floors to get away from anything sexual or any form of nudity. Her extreme embarrassment and shock of such things triggers her powers.
Kitty Prude.
Damn it.
Kitty Prude.
I was trying to think of, like, she's had so many code names in the comics. How do I pick one?
By not knowing crap and only knowing the one.
That's fair. That is fair.
All right, last one. Johnny Storm is bombarded with cosmic rays and transformed into a very handsy individual. Like the kind of guy who can't keep his mitts off someone after a few too many drinks. With his catchphrase, "Fondle on," he makes bad guys super uncomfortable.
The human touch. Touch.
Human touch. That is correct. You guys are 3 for 3. Congratulations.
No, seriously, which one of us got it?
I don't know. There was a delay.
Ah.
But you both said it, so you both get points. Not that I'm keeping track or anything.
I am. Chad won.
Today. You know, but I think the last time, I think I got maybe one.
I've got, like, just hash marks on my wall. I'm just like, soon Chad will be the second comic guy, and I'll just be a guy.
Yeah, but they're all things that don't exist except in Justin's warped imagination.
Chad will be the Justin guy.
Justin man. Well, with the fun and frivolity out of the way, it's time for the next bit. Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Oh, I don't feel good about this.
I love cartoons. This isn't anything new. As a wee lad, I used to wonder what it would be like to be a cartoon, to be able to go all Daffy Duck on someone. And then I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and that only fueled the fire. Here were cartoon characters interacting among real humans. Then I wondered how I could translate that into being a superhero. Well, apparently, so did Lynn Kaminsky and James Fry when they created Slapstick. Debuting in November of 1992 in The Awesome Slapstick number 1, he is a living cartoon. So we're going full Roger Rabbit here.
Okay.
Steve Harmon was your typical junior high student from New York City, doing typical junior high stuff, like dressing up as a clown to get revenge on his nemesis, Winston.
Oh.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, Winston.
Using his ingenious disguise, he blends into the background of a strange carnival that showed up. Before Steve could enact his plan, Winston and his date Heather were kidnapped by several clowns. Steve picks up an oversized mallet and follows them. The group enter the carnival's funhouse and goes through a portal disguised as a mirror. Steve follows because why not? As he enters, energy bursts race across Steve's world. This alerts all cosmically attuned beings such as Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, Howard the Duck, and Spider-Man. Because when I think cosmically tuned individuals, I think your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
You know what? Let's go with it.
Yeah.
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 Steve's molecules stretch across all 3,741 dimensions and ends up in the realm of the scientist supreme of Dimension X, who resembles Groucho Marx. Don't ask why. The scientist helps Steve master his new form, a body composed of living, unstable molecules dubbed electroplasm. This essentially makes him a living cartoon character. The scientist theorizes that Steve had to come to his new form because he was slightly out of sync when entering the funhouse portal because of that energy wave. Using his new powers and a convenient map the scientist had, Steve freed many captive Earthlings from the evil clowns of Dimension X. I have a note here. See if this is a movie. It sounds like something Chad might have.
Let me check my notes.
Steve learns that the clown's leader, the Overlord, plans to brainwash Earthlings enough so that their belief would be sufficient to give the Overlord whatever he desired. The plans were foiled when the belief that held his castle gave away the humans and regained their right minds. The castle crashes. The captive humans run to the portal. Steve destroys the mirror, eradicating the clown's interface with reality. And soon after, Steve finds his best friend, Mike, who agrees to assist him. Now, Steve is still stuck in this new form. Now calling himself Slapstick, he faces a Punisher copycat called Overkill, who attacks Steve because he thinks he's a mutant. Because that's reasonable, right?
I mean, that's how they handle most things in Marvel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The two fight in a mall, destroying most of it. Steve ends the fight by kissing Overkill and then walloping him with an oversized mallet.
Of course.
Oh, and Spider-Man was there too.
All right, yeah.
Slapstick has also battled the super smart preteen Dr. Denton and Teddy. There was also a homeless man named Norton Neutron Bum with the power to cause explosions. Despite the gathering of dozens of superheroes willing and planning to fight the man, including Daredevil, Ghost Rider, the Fantastic Four, and the Avengers, Slapstick simply neutralizes the situation by giving Neutron Bum what he's been yelling for all along, a cup of coffee. And then blindsides him when he's drinking it. Later, Slapstick teams up with the New Warriors to fight Dr. Yesterday, partly to impress the chicks.
I love the name Dr. Yesterday. I don't know why.
During the Civil War storyline, Slapstick helps the surviving members of the New Warriors find Hindsight Lad,
Hold the F on. This guy's been a... This isn't like some one-off dude that showed up for like four issues in the 40s when everything was... This guy's been around until Civil War?
Yep.
Where was that in the Captain America movie?
Yeah, for real.
I would have loved to see Freakazoid running around the airport.
That's essentially it.
Unfortunately, he's owned by Warner Brothers, and Marvel is owned by the Mouse.
Fine, Freakazoo, whatever.
Yeah. He helps the New Warriors find Hindsight Lad, which is honestly why I thought you stopped me in the first place.
You know, looking back, I should have asked you about that.
Hindsight Lad, the young man responsible for outing the secret identities of the Warriors. Thankfully, Slapstick's identity was not one of them. He is later seen on a bus of new recruits heading to Camp Harmon as part of the Initiative Training Program. Slapstick and the other Camp Harmon members are sent out for crowd control when the Hulk and his warbound crew lead an attack on New York. He is assigned to morale support for the evacuating citizens. A fellow recruit, Rage, leads a rebellion against the crowd in the support mission and in order to go confront the Hulk. Slapstick joins him, and the team is swiftly defeated by the Hulk's forces. Imprisoned by the Hulk in Madison Square Garden and neutralized with power-zapping technology, they are rescued by Black Ops forces. When Deadpool founded his Mercs for Money, he employed the services of Slapstick, among several other numerous vigilantes, to pose as him in order to extend his reach across the globe. While striving to do good like his colleagues, Slapstick has a severe emotional problems due to his inability to change back into his human form. Because of his electroplasm body, any damage he takes can be immediately shaken off, as he possesses superhuman durability and virtually unlimitless physical malleability in the same manner as a cartoon character. He has super agility and reflexes, and has been shown that the molecular bonds of the electroplasm can be disrupted by a countercharge of a specific frequency of energy, and he becomes an immobile puddle. Another energy charge can restore him to, quote, normal. It's also made very clear that he has no genitalia, which is very sad for him, because he's, you know, in high school.
Hmm.
He is an experienced practical joker with a highly developed bizarre sense of humor and is described as, quote, the hero who doesn't fight crime but rather plays cruel tricks on it. So there is everything you never wanted to know about Slapstick.
This asshole had his own comic starting in October 2016, because I started looking it up to see if Justin was just fucking with us. But no. Nope.
It's real.
It's all real, and I... Ah.
So I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 podcast, which a new one just went up if you're just listening to this fresh out of the box. The Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. Darren, did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
Look us up on social media, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Discord. Links to all of them and much more can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. And say hi when you stop by. And be sure to tell your friends about us. We'd love if you spread the word. And now, here is your out-of-context comic panel. We see a demon. And he says,
score one for Satan!
For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been The Wonderful World of Comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.